It is Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on, man?
Not much.
You're
on
another, much.
You're on a big game again this weekend, which, here, first question, do you do Pac-12 games anymore?
Oh, why?
No, they're not good enough.
Oh.
No, that's fair. You are on number 10, Ohio State, at number 18, Michigan State. We see the ACC getting propped up. How do you feel about the overall health of the Big Ten? Obviously, Michigan is a title contender at number 4 in the playoff committee. But what about the other teams in the college football playoff rankings? You got number 10, Ohio State, who struggled at times, and 18th-ranked Michigan State in there as well with Iowa. And Penn State, too.
Yeah, listen, it's an incredibly deep conference. I would say that the middle of the conference is the best, that I think is the deepest in America, quite frankly. You take everybody's top team, and then you go from 2 to 8, and I think that the Big Ten is the best from 2 to 8. Obviously, the SEC's got the best two teams, if you're just rating about that with Georgia and Alabama. Clemson is obviously incredibly top-heavy with a ridiculously weak ACC that's totally overrated in the committee rankings. But the Big Ten is, and that's part of their problem right now, in particular in the West Division, is that you don't have a great team, and so what you get is just everybody kind of beating up on each other, and Michigan State has bore the brunt of that a little bit with 3 losses on the year. But it's really good, and Ohio State's in an interesting position because I think that they still have an outside shot to potentially make a run, in particular with Michigan still on the slate to help their resume. But this is a conference that I certainly expect to get huge consideration, in particular if it's Michigan with 1 loss as a conference champ. I'm in the camp that thinks Michigan controls their own destiny. For a playoff, even if Alabama were to lose to Georgia, I'm in a camp that a 12-1 Power 5 champ is almost all but a lock to get in. Now, we might see a couple of those not get in. Let's say Washington State runs the table and Oklahoma runs the table, Michigan runs the table. We're going to have 3 12-1 champs, and 2 of them are not getting in at a minimum, maybe 3. So it's an interesting year.
Joel, what's your most egregious bias or of what this committee's done thus far? I know you mentioned the ACC and what maybe potentially Frank Beamer's done.
ACC by a wide margin, Cam.
Yeah.
Wide margin. And when you look at, all I did is I went in and I averaged 3 rating systems that I really think are good, really good. The FPI, the Sagarin ratings, and the S&P Plus. And all you got to do is look at those ratings and average those computer rankings out. And what you will see is that, on average, those ACC teams that are behind Clemson are ranked about 23 spots higher than what the computers would rank them on average. Not total. On average.
That's ridiculous.
That's staggering. Last week it was 15. This week it's 23. They all got raised up by 5 spots, and you saw exactly how good North Carolina State was last night. My theory is that Miami is patient zero. Miami as patient zero makes a lot of sense because when you look at it, LSU overrated. Who they beat? Miami, when Miami was so-called the top 10 team. Then you go Boston College beats Miami. North Carolina State beats Boston College. Then Syracuse beats North Carolina State, and everything points back to Miami, and some ridiculous preseason poll got propped up. They're a 4-loss team, and yet everyone's building their backs off of Miami as patient zero.
Well, Joel Klatt is our guest, Fox College football analyst. But the one thing that I loved about the chart that you put up there is, why don't you fill our listeners in on who's the most undervalued team by the college football playoff committee in this? Because when the bias is showing, it kind of sticks out and it's pretty glaring there.
Yeah, it's a frustrating deal, right? And part of the problem, I think, is that there's no set standard. You know, we allowed for so much autonomy within that conference, and yet the statistical variance is so wide when you're talking about a 13-variable equation. Anybody that understands math whatsoever or passed a calculus class understands statistical variation in some form or fashion. They would understand that the 13-variable equation has a much more wide statistical variance than 152 variable equation. My whole deal with this thing is that, one, we needed to set more strict standards, i.e. you've got to win your conference championship in order to go. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is we've got to increase the number of variables. I think we need two or three more committees so that we can at least get to 40 or 50 variables, because right now you get one rogue variable that gets any amount of influence. He influences two more variables, and now you've got three of 13 variables that are rogue, and they skew the data set wildly. And the three people that are sitting there thinking to themselves, yeah, I remember calculus, they're nodding their heads thinking to themselves, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, because Washington, according to that chart that you had, was, what, 15 spots lower than what the computers had him at?
Think about it. There's three snaps of the football away from being undefeated, basically.
Yeah.
You know, maybe four, maybe five snaps. But that's a team that has, I would say, underperformed, but at the same time, they've been right there. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, all three of their losses are by a total of like 9 or 10 points.
Yeah, kickers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, kicker screws you, a coach screws you a couple of times. Peterson puts in a backup quarterback. He throws a pick six.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're a three-loss team. But the computers would tell you that they would be favored over about anybody in the country, save for the top six or seven teams. Here's another. I certainly think they're going to beat Washington State. They're a better team.
I'm taking that one to bank. Yeah,
Cam wanted that one to breathe, Joel. He was like, I'm just going to let that one breathe for a minute.
You guys marinating that thought. All right, I feel like for me, this is the first time I've looked at the core four at the top. 1, 2, 3, 4 from Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. I feel pretty comfortable they're the best four, and I would love to see that matchup. Let's give you a coaching question, though. Even though you look at those four coaches, who's doing the best job of coaching this year of the four? I know you could just look at Nick Saban. I get that. But of those four coaches right now, who's doing the best job coaching?
Well, you can make an argument for all of them, right? I mean, Saban's doing something. He has changed. He has transformed almost in a Belichickian way. You know, Bill Belichick has won Super Bowls with a number of different styles of teams, and now all of a sudden Saban is morphing a little bit towards the modern style of coaching. So you can make an argument for him. You can make an argument for Dabo Swinney making the tough decision to go away from Hunter Bryant, or excuse me, Kelly Bryant, and going towards Trevor Lawrence. You can make the argument, obviously, for Brian Kelly and what he's been able to do with an undefeated team making a quarterback change. You can make an argument for Jim Harbaugh with a team that was, yes, veteran, but also was bringing in a transfer quarterback. Of the four, my nod would go to Brian Kelly because of who he lost on the offensive line last year, the quarterback move that he made, you know, early in the season, the improvement that they've made, and the fact that they're undefeated. I think Brian Kelly would get my vote right now for kind of a Coach of the Year type of award.
Joel Klatt, Fox College football analyst, is our guest on the Catlin Capital Hotline. He joins us every single Friday, usually at 7:30, a little bit later this week. I saw the lines came out. We had them sent our way from the odds makers of Alabama and how they would be favored against every single team that is in the top five right now. Well, then Central Florida as well by 31. They're double-digit favorites over every team except for Clemson, which 8.5 points. Is Alabama's dominance good or bad for college football, in your opinion?
I think dominant teams, programs, players are great. Was it bad for the NBA when Jordan won 6 titles in 8 years? Was it bad for the NBA when LeBron has made whatever 6-7 straight finals? Of course not. Was it bad for the NBA when Bird and Magic dominated the 80s? No, of course not. I think dynasty. Is it bad for the NFL that the New England Patriots have been in what is it, 7 straight AFC championship games, 8 straight AFC championship games? Of course not. I think that this is a myth that dynasties are bad. Mm-hmm. I actually think that the irrelevant teams becoming dominant are actually worse for a sport than the other way around. If Jacksonville were to have beaten New England last year in the Super Bowl, that Super Bowl would have had record low ratings. Record low. Why? Because no one cares about Jacksonville, right? People care about dynasties, and I think people care about Alabama, and this one could be historically great. So whatever happens in terms of the ratings, I still think that dynasties are good for sports, whatever sport you're talking about.
But Joel, what would the Pac-12 have to do to compete against the rest of the country then moving forward? With that said, of feeling like you're behind the eight ball, is it just that there's not enough recruits? There's not enough good coaching in the conference to develop? Do they have to change their system? What would this conference have to do to step it up?
Hello?
You probably lost it.
Yeah.
It was such a dumb question. It was just didn't make any sense.
I thought it was a good one. I hear him.
Yeah.
He does not hear us, apparently. Joel Klatt. Well, it was our time with Joel anyways. It was time for him to go. I think his phone dropped out.
Maybe his phone dropped out.
He's calling.
His phone indeed dropped out.
Yeah.
There we go. Because I don't see our phone line just saying, I quit.